When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Final hour fist pump time, Tolo Tuesday. Is Caitlin getting it or no? Oh, we caught her sleeping. I think she's looking at all the reactions to the Jerry Jones interview. We got Peyton Russell in the back. He is Bobby Belt, Cowboys insider, RJ Choppy. I'm Sean Treve. Thank you all for turning it on and leaving it on. That is what Tolo stands for. And Jerry just joined us. I guess the big national headline is everyone at the NFL Network is listening to that. I got my main man, Larry, over at NBC5. He goes, of course, the one part of the interview where the phone cuts out.
Is right
and Bobby's
when,
mic cuts out.
That's me. Yeah. See, that's me, Peyton. Yeah, it is the, it's right when he's asked about, or right when he's saying, yes, he will have surgery, which I did go check. It's the little digital scramble, whatever VOIP phone he had or whatever. But if you boost it, you can hear he says, yes, he will. And then it picks up and says, have it tomorrow in New York. So he is done for the year. That's the big takeaway from everybody. Dak done for the year.
Why is it the big takeaway? We knew it.
Yeah, I know. But well, I mean, surgery, as we knew he was done for the year in all likelihood, but having surgery for it is, that's a decision that we were waiting to see if it would come down. So,
and there's more quarterback news.
Yes, Will Greer has been added to the practice squad. So the quarterback you pushed out when you traded that fourth for Trey Lance is now back, baby. A little bit of poetry in that. But he is back and will be signed to the practice squad. So that's your third quarterback.
What else are you taking from Jerry, who was very pleasant and enjoyable?
Very pleasant, very enjoyable. Not in a bad mood at all. Well, that he clearly thinks that either he thinks this or he is interpreting this or spinning this, that Micah did not mean what Micah meant.
Yeah,
that's
and
clear.
And I agree with Jerry.
And I agree. I think it's the same thing.
I think Micah got a little loose at the end. We said the same stuff yesterday. And I think, you know, I lost even more respect for GetUp with the way that they labeled it and overreacted to the first part of his quote that Mike McCarthy can get out of here and go take a hike. That's pretty shameful. And that's why people hate the media. But man, these TV shows are covering the Cowboys even more than we are. I can't look up without Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones all over the place for one of the worst teams in the league. They're the ones that who are panicking. They're panicking in these TV networks and these executives, and they're probably like listening right now. I don't care. They're freaking out. The Cowboys are going to be irrelevant the rest of the season, and they're like, we're going to make them relevant.
I mean, how do we tie Deion to them? How do we get Deion there? Come on. We got to find something.
The two teams they cover the most have, what, a combined 5 wins? The Jets and the Cowboys?
Yeah. Their worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And no quarterback. Like, Dak being gone takes a lot of that air out. So that's him on Micah.
And then obviously the Sun stuff. And he is.
Recap what he said about it.
He said, well, I mean, he said they have an advantage. They built it with the advantage. They built it because they wanted it to make it look like an outdoor stadium that was indoors. Listen, I totally agree with that.
Segment. There's the aesthetics.
That's the aesthetics. I totally agree with that. I absolutely love the fact that there's nothing I hate more than turning on a game on a Sunday. And it just seems very bleak in some of these stadiums. Even Atlanta, brand new stadium, feels bleak. I love Minnesota's. It's got the windows up top. It looks like it's an outdoor game. I like that. I like that a lot about that, about this stadium. But could you tint it? Could you get me some limo tint out there or something?
How is it an advantage when CeeDee Lamb didn't grab the touchdown?
Well, it would be an advantage. Okay, so he brought up Texas Stadium with the crown on the field, right? The Texas Stadium had an 18-inch crown. And it was fine. If you ever stood on the field at Texas Stadium, you could not see the other side. Like, you would see half their body.
Yeah, Broadus used to say when they were on the field in Green Bay that they would see the coaches on the other sideline from, like, the waist up. because it crowned so significantly.
So that was an advantage. But there were times when, you know, it did work against them. You know, you're running downhill and you trip. I mean, that happens, right? He's taken the same approach with this, but, you know, the sun, I think, when it goes through the glass, brightens up somehow, like you're hitting through a magnifying glass, like you're trying to fry ants as a kid. And I think that's what's happening here. And
No, I don't. What's happening here is, I think, this great tweet from Tolo David. You can't simulate the sun. Like, you can. It doesn't matter how many times they practice with the sun in Frisco. When the ball's in the eye of the sun, it's getting lost.
They don't practice at the same time of day. Yeah, that sun happens in the late afternoon.
Yeah.
4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
You know, I can adjust and play to and around the dead spots on a basketball floor. You know what I mean? Right, and that's there every single time. And I know how the ball is going to bounce. Like, I know it's going to go lower. Mm-hmm. I know how it's going to bounce. I can't see. Like, can you practice for losing sight for a second or two?
You would have to.
I'm asking a dead serious question now. Bill Belichick, all right, wet footballs, everyone does it with the weather. Should the Dallas Cowboys have sun practice?
They should absolutely practice at AT&T Stadium at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I like the idea of just CeeDee Lamb's running around in practice, and then all of a sudden, like, somebody like hits an equipment intern, or they're like, hit the spotlight, and they just boom, cut on these big like LED lights right into CeeDee's eyes.
And how much should you game plan to it?
I will say,
as Florio points out, the Cowboys won the toss Sunday. McCarthy opted to receive. He could have deferred, and after the Eagles chose to receive, opted to defend the west end zone, knowing full well that the sun would be in the eyes of the receivers looking back, and the team moving towards the east end zone would have to deal with the sun. Should that be a factor in a game plan? Jerry's saying this is a nothing burger.
How do you get... So, in order to game plan for it, you know, you would have to practice on that field basically at that time and say, we're going to run routes that are going to put the defensive players in the sun, but us not.
No, basically, the third quarter of 3 o'clock games, you want to play defense
you can,
facing the west end zone. You would facing the Miller Lite West Plaza. Yeah. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, what you could end up doing, if you talk about game planning for, what you could do is you could adjust your first 15 play script, for instance, around, hey, let's make this more run centric, or if you're whatever, based on where you think the sun spots will be on the field, you could script coming out in the second half or first half of games and script your game plan around that. But that's the most you could do to kind of game plan around the sun.
He also mentioned a couple times.
Such a stupid thing to say. Game plan around the sun. It just sounds dumb when you say it.
It's been there for 5 billion years, and it's going to be there for another 5 billion.
I think Mike Fisher said this the other day.
Gentlemen.
I should have just said the Fish Report. The Fish just says the fan now. I forgot our names all of a sudden after I went to his birthday party. But I thought he brought up an interesting point. He said, this is all about aesthetics. It's why, you know, the Cowboys are a marketing firm that plays football.
That's right. Yeah.
And Jerry, all these owners, right, they go around the world to look at stadiums, and Jerry probably walked into a cathedral and he saw the light coming through the glass and he goes, I want that. And I understand that. And maybe he wasn't thinking about how it would affect, but I don't know if the players, I don't know if the players view it as an advantage because they deal with it for 8 home games or 4 or 5 home games, whenever it's not prime time or noon.
Right.
You know?
You're right. He probably did walk into some random cathedral that had those that light peering through it, and that's what he's doing. And that's, look, he is a marketing arm, a marketing tool. Is it in the best interest of football? What is the benefit to the football team for having the stadium the way it was? And they planned it. I was asked about the construction. I was like, did you, like, because I knew they had to, the way the master plan community was, they had to do east-west. But it's not the east-west, it's the windows and the way the stands don't go up high that made it that way.
Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just going to say it did. I had sent you this yesterday. The Eagles fans believe it kept them in the game, that it kept the Cowboys in the games. That they think they're all on Reddit with their conspiracy theories that's why Jalen Hurts didn't throw passes the first five dropbacks is because he couldn't see. And so, look, I mean, apparently it kept you in the game against the Eagles for a little bit.
Here's the bottom line. When it comes to pressure, when it comes to too much noise, Jerry Jones just doesn't believe in it, okay? He doesn't believe there can be too much coverage. He doesn't believe that pressure should break you. That's not in him. He doesn't believe it. And if you can't handle it, you're not cut out to be a part or lead or star for the Dallas Cowboys. He just doesn't. All that stuff is crap. You have to put up. You have to deal with the stadium being a work of art. And yes, the football is going to come second. It is. It doesn't matter. If you go to your boss as a united front and you ask for something reasonable that you all think is bothering you and stopping progress or success in the workplace, I believe it is that boss's responsibility to acquiesce and do for the employees. Jerry Jones does not believe that when it comes to like the weight room tours or tinting the stadium or the curtains. He's like that, and that is how they're on television right now today. That's how they're on television every single day, despite not sniffing the NFC Championship. So there is an obvious benefit. Otherwise, they'd be completely irrelevant, and that is why they're talked about. That's why the stadium's still full. That's why they still have the ratings. That's why the merchandise. And yes, all that stuff does benefit Jerry, but there is a little bit of a benefit. It's not the main thing y'all should be focused on or care about. But there is a little benefit to your sports team still being talked about, whether they're good or bad. You know what I mean? It is fun to be in the mix. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Corey was saying it the other day on KMC. He's like, what the hell? What's it like in Jacksonville? You don't matter. You don't matter at all. No one cares about you. No one talks about you. You're irrelevant.
Didn't it kind of suck?
I'm not saying you as a fan listening, you should care about football first and the decisions that Jerry makes impacting football first and entertainment second. But a byproduct of what Jerry does, they're on television right now and every day and every year since I've worked in this damn building, despite early playoff elimination, 500 or under 500 seasons. That's because of Jerry Jones.
It bugged people last year. It bugged Rangers fans that in the course of their championship, people didn't care about them.
Yes.
Like, that still bothers fans when nationally you're not cared about. So I understand it's irritating when people care nationally about your football team. You feel like they're not even doing anything. Stop giving them attention. This is what they want. I understand that feeling. But the reverse of that we've seen true, that even when you had success with the Rangers, you felt slighted and disrespected. Yeah. Yeah. And it irritated you that people didn't talk about you like you were the Yankees, Dodgers, or Cowboys.
Yes, I agree. And then the Cooper Rush neck strain.
Right.
Which
they mentioned that multiple...
Huh? Nick yesterday, remember I asked Nick, I was like, is he hurt? And Nick was like, I thought he got hurt in that fumble. And it appears that may have been it.
That was a rough shot. That was a rough fall.
It was a rough fall. And that would explain.
I think someone fell like right on top of him, I think.
Yeah, that would explain some of those throws. Some of those throws.
Yeah.
Not the first one, but some of those throws were like, what is going on there? That looked like that was a performance like we had never seen from him.
Yeah, that would explain more. But it is going to be Cooper Rush continuing to start Monday night against the Armpit on this radio station. Did Micah and Mike McCarthy make up and the dog that has taken over the college football world? The rest of RJ's college football kegger and Mike and Micah making up next on Sean and RJ.
And it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And also brought to you by the personal injury lawyers, Frankel and Frankel. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first. 214-817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
Crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece at 940 this morning. Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. In case you missed it, Jerry Jones stating that Micah Parsons was just trying to show support for Zach Martin with his Mike McCarthy comments. And yesterday, yesterday, McCarthy goes to the podium, and there's a screen. Can't make it up. There's a screen to block out the sun. How's it set up there in the media room, Bob, in Frisco?
The way it is, like, when you first walk into the glass building there for the start, it's right immediately on the right. So the sun can kind of flood in because there's no walls really blocking it.
So people were making fun of the Cowboys saying, are you kidding me? This is Michael Scott in the office. You'll put up something to block for McCarthy's presser, but not for the games. Turns out it was Pat Doney's cameraman, NBC5.
Noah Bullard, photojournalist who's awesome. And he threw it up there and was McCarthy an assist.
Does he usually like do it? Has it been put up before?
No. Like, he's there shooting the press conference, but he just got his screen that they use for outdoor shots because camera, you know, sports setups, they got to have that screen. So he just went and got it out of his bag and set it up as a joke.
You think he was he did it as a joke?
Yeah, it was like, I got you, coach. I'm black here.
That's a ballsy move.
It was, because that could have backfired. Who knows? But like Noah, I think everybody knows. Noah's just, he's a good sport.
And
so
McCarthy walked in and goes, is that for the sun? And so that started off things with a little bit of a chuckle. And then he responded to Micah's comments.
Well, I think like anything with post-game remarks and really any remarks, when it does create questions for others in the locker room, something that I've always done, you know, conversation has to happen. So, you know, Mike and I had a conversation this morning about it and, you know, handled those things as men should handle it. You know, that wasn't his intent. And, you know, so that's something he can talk on. But, you know, the other part of it too is, you know, is what comes out of this too, all the way around, you know, questions for others. And also, I don't want to see any my players get attacked also from the other side of this too. So we have so much more that we need to focus on. And that's really what we talk about pretty much, you know, throughout the day today is just, we just got to keep it about football, bear down on the things we know we need to improve on. Build off of some of the things that we did, felt like we got better, throughout these games coming out of the bye. These are the things that you need to, you know, eliminate from your culture.
Also said you need to eliminate these things from the culture. So does that mean Micah should shut down the pod? He didn't say it in his podcast, but then he addresses it last night, kind of going after Damian Woody and Rex Ryan. McCarthy also said, the Texans are now 2 hours ahead of us when it comes to film. I'm only on play 6 of reviewing the Lions-Texans game because I had to deal with this and go talk to Parsons.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not a huge Mike McCarthy fan, but ESPN again doing dirty work last night. To me, the context is clearly McCarthy just lays out all these conversations they have. And yeah, you're concerned when that gets reported that way, how it spreads around the locker room. You got to eliminate those things from your culture. Basically talking about how that can spread and how you got to just squash those things. Instead, they go up there, Mike McCarthy in response.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
To Micah Parsons, you got to eliminate this from your culture. And it's like, that is not the context of how he said that at all.
They have no soul.
Now,
they have no soul.
You can, like, listen, people interpret things differently, right? That's not interpreting things differently. Like, if you wanted to really interpret the first one where he's like, you know, he can leave and go wherever he wants, you want to interpret that literally, I disagree. But that's egregious. That's even more egregious.
That's lowbrow politics.
No, I think
that's lowbrow.
No,
what they just did here?
I think that he can go wherever he wants. I think that's more egregious. This culture thing, that does matter. What Mike said does matter a little bit, I think. Of you have to eliminate these things from the culture.
Right, but
that is a much more legitimate statement that he meant than Micah's. Micah meant none of that whatsoever of Mike can go somewhere else. They spun it as Micah saying McCarthy could take a hike. That is not anywhere near close to as accurate as McCarthy saying you got to eliminate these things from the culture. These distractions.
I think they're both massively out of context.
Yeah, but the McCarthy one, what Mike said in that presser is I think is more valid.
But I think
the other one is a zero.
Sure, I just don't think he's saying basically the way it's framed when you say something like that is when Micah talks like that, you need to eliminate it from your culture. And I don't think he's saying you got to eliminate what Micah said. I think he's talking about you got to eliminate confusion and lack of
headlines,
communication and those sort of things, and not anything at all related to. I talked to Micah. I understand what he was saying.
Yeah,
and we have no issues with this. So when he says eliminate from his culture, I think he means we've got to eliminate poor communication where people are misunderstanding each other. And that's where to me it's just they're taking both out of context because they want a snapshot of Micah says Mike needs to leave. Well, Mike says that you got to eliminate things like that from your culture. People who talk like that, and to me it's like that's not an accurate representation of what either one of them were saying to me.
Let's hit the rest of the keg.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
There's a little screen off of the left-hand side, caught by Travis, turns corner. On his way to the end zone, and he leaps into the end zone with joy, and Colorado scores with 1:18 to play in the third. Travis Hunter turned on the afterburners, and the most dynamic player in college football has given the Buffs now a 30-20 advantage.
Buffs radio with the call. Very.
Was that Buffs radio or was that Jerry's phone?
It may have been. 41-27, they win.
Are we not previewing audio that we're using now?
Skip, scat? Yeah, we're previewing it.
Did it skip? Did you hear it skipping?
Yeah, I heard it skip. That's a computer problem.
What?
That's a computer problem.
Oh, the computer skipped on him just now.
Oh, that wasn't the cut?
The playback skipped, is what he's saying.
Yeah, okay. That wasn't the cut.
41-27, Colorado wins, so they have put themselves in a great position in the Big 12 title race, to the point where they are going to wind up playing in the Big 12 championship game unless, you know, they really kind of fall off. But they are right there with BYU. BYU is 6-0. Colorado is 5-1. That's because Iowa State suffered another loss. And now Colorado and BYU will wind up playing in the Big 12 championship game. And it would give Colorado a chance to have their first top 25 win of the year.
Which they won't get. BYU will run them, is what will happen.
Yeah, they'll be favored by more. I would assume more than a touchdown in that game.
Sounds as bold as your Bama LSU take.
Hey, you gonna wait till next month to weigh in on that one too?
BYU though, they do.
No, hang on. I'll give Colorado their tortillas. this is impressive. I'm not gonna let people skip over the Deion praise because everyone wanted to rip it down, so now everyone has to give the praise.
But it is impressive, but it's also not.
Yeah, like when you look at the schedule, like it's not.
Y'all still said they wouldn't have four wins.
I don't know if I said that, but they weren't gonna. All right, you won in the Sun Belt, basically. That's what they've done.
If I told you before the year that they'd be in the Big 12 title game, you would have laughed.
I would have laughed, and the reason I would have laughed is because Utah and Oklahoma State were on their schedule, and they were picked very, very high. They're both like top 15 teams.
Utah's about to get kicked out of the Big 12. They keep ripping
and they are a combined 1-12 in conference. Utah and Oklahoma State. I would have suspected they would have lost, those two games. They would have been 3-3 on the year. At best at this point.
Let me ask this,
but
then.
They're not.
If you're the Florida Gators and money was not an issue, is Deion now ready for a Florida program, a Gator program?
I would think not.
No.
No. Why not?
Well, is he going to have two of the top five picks in the draft? Probably not.
Well, it depends if you think he can recruit. I mean, he recruited one of them.
And now the other one, obviously, was his son. He was going to go play with him regardless. You would think
it's Grand Theft Colorado out there. Remember, it's easier for him to run things the way he wants to. And even still, there's been a lot of questions and a lot of issues. I don't think you can run things like that in Florida and get away with Florida atmosphere.
Oh, you might need to explain that a little bit. Grand Theft Colorado. You're making it sound like thugs.
That was the term that one of the former players used. He called it Grand Theft Colorado. He said it's like Grand Theft Auto here that you've got just guns and like weapons and money flying around the locker room and guys getting into fights. And it's a toxic environment for a lot of players who go there and they say, I got to get the hell out of here.
They are up to the 18th. They will be higher.
Not playing in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah. They will be higher when the rankings come out tonight, when the latest college football playoff rankings come out. So Colorado will, for the most part, make it to the Big 12 championship game, which will be here in DFW. Utah played BYU. They had BYU against the ropes, up against the ropes, up 21-19. There was a defensive holding call early on in the drive. It allowed a drive to stay going. This was like inside the 20-yard line, their own 20. BYU marched up the field, kicks a field goal. They beat Utah on the road. After the game, their athletic director for Utah decided that he had had enough. I've never seen an athletic director go to the podium and to criticize the officials.
Been an athletic director for 12 years. This game was absolutely stolen from us. We were excited about being in the Big 12, but tonight I am not. We won this game. Someone else stole it from us. Very disappointed. I will talk to the commissioner. This was not fair to our team. I'm disgusted by the professionalism of the officiating crew tonight.
Wow. You never hear that.
He got lit up.
Yes. Yeah, Brett Moore, Yarmark, going to light him up money-wise and everything.
So what was he complaining about? I tried to find this on Twitter.
There was a early on in the drive. I mean, I'm talking BYU was like inside their own 20-yard line. On the outside, on the outside receiver, on the left side. So it would be the right side because you're looking at the other. There was a defensive hold. And it was a bad call. And they called the defensive hold. And that allowed the drive to stay going.
This was in what quarter?
This is the end. This is the final drive.
Oh, the end.
Yeah, this is on the final drive.
So egregious?
It was a bad call. I mean, it wasn't the worst call I've ever seen. It was a bad call.
$40,000 fine.
Yeah.
That's what he got.
Yeah. I mean, I had talked to a couple people that I know within the Big 12 circle. I'm not going to identify what their religion is, but I did ask a couple people.
Called it the other program thugs.
And they were, I was quoting, thank you. I did hear from a couple, they're like, yeah, he's kind of right. Like, I mean, nobody's going to say that publicly, but he was right. The officiating is awful in the Big 12.
Tom Brenneman.
Oh, God.
Oh, Grand Theft Colorado, Mormons. Let's go to Brenneman.
You want to do Brenneman or you want to do Kirk Herbstreit? What do you want to do?
Whatever you want. It's your keg.
All right. I think this is fun. We all remember this clip from Tom Brenneman.
Shows you how RJ Choppy feels about dead dogs, Sarah.
Well, our dog is still alive. The other one has passed on.
No, I'm kidding. Go, Brenneman.
All right. So this, you know, we all remember this clip from like 4 years ago. Tom Brenneman, after he had been caught on a hot mic using a gay slur, had this apology in the middle of a home run.
I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck, for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am.
Okay.
All right. There we get it. Now, that was a couple years ago, like 4 years ago. Tom is rebounded, and he is now on the CW. Calling Syracuse versus Boston College. And there just happens to be a player with a very unique name.
Couple of good quarterbacks in this one. You know about Kyle McCord. We'll also see Thomas Castellanos. How about that? Or Sky Rizzi, key to the game.
And he looks at the camera and he kind of gives it a little sign at Castellanos. All right.
Oh, no, no. What's with Castellanos? Is he trying to? All right, let me put it to a side. I can't get all these clips of me saying Castellanos tonight.
Oh. I'm like, do you want to refer back to that?
Thomas Castellanos.
Do you want to go back to that?
Why is that one Castellanos?
Maybe that is how he pronounces his name.
Could be Italian. Could be an Italian name.
It could be.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely versus, that Tom Brenneman's being unprofessional.
Call the AD. Call the SID over there since you got Utah connections. Yeah.
A man of faith.
Utah, just out me over here. What are you doing? It wasn't really Utah that I was talking to.
All right, let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece next on a Tolo Tuesday, 105.3 The Fan.
And it's back to Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine is the number one Chevy dealer in the world. More Silverados than anyone else. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023.
The Stars numbers the other way. Marchman with Sagan fed their score! Tyler Sagan on the power play and make it a half dozen here in the first for Dallas.
And with that, the Dallas Stars in the first period match the Dallas Cowboys through four quarters. 7-1 over the Penguins. Victory plus with the audio. Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece here on The Fan.
What would you equate six goals to in football points?
42.
Okay.
That was a fast answer.
Well, seven times six. Touchdown.
Yeah, a goal, a touchdown.
One goal you think is a touchdown?
That's what Chop's arguing for, I assume.
Yeah, I know. I did the math. But I'm asking, do you all think that one goal is 7 points?
I was going to say around six, so I don't think seven.
I'd say
outrageous.
One and a half. I'd say that it's worth 1.5 touchdowns.
Because, I mean, like the average NHL game, let's just say it's 3-2. That would be a 21-14 NFL game. That's maybe a little on the low side, probably more like 24-17.
Seven goals is like scoring 63 points.
And I would argue 3-2 is under the NHL average for scoring.
Probably.
Corey, what's coming up?
Guys, right out of the gate, we do talk Stars with Puck Around and Find Out.
Hell yeah!
That's why I'm wearing my Stars hoodie today, because you score seven goals, you get a hoodie.
And I would like it if every beginning of the show is dictated by what specifically you were wearing.
Okay.
And you're like, okay,
I'll start seeing if I can try that. Mike asks all the football questions at 10:20.
What's wrong?
He doesn't know that he's supposed to do that.
No, I know that. I'm going to ask Patrick Mahomes questions. There's
a
tease.
That's Detroit Lions questions all day.
And he's working on for Buffalo Wild Wings on Friday. He's working on the drink, the Funky Comedina. So he's trying to get that all taken care of.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we also have Martin House Brewing. We will be out there on Thursday from 10 to 2.
Bobby went around making an alcohol video of the station today. He didn't know if he'd get in trouble for posting it.
Oh, what does that mean?
Not an alcohol video. I just was like, let me see if I can find a bottle of water in the fridge. I'm like, nope, beer, malt liquor, beer. What about in the freezer? Oh, nope, whiskey. Maybe something's ready. Oh, nope, tequila. So that's what it was.
What are you reacting to on your computer?
I'm just frustrated. I know this happened last night. We'll talk about it a little bit in Baseball Nuggets. How did Austin Wells have a better year than Wyatt Langford? I'm not saying Wyatt Langford should not be rookie of the year. He should get third. But third place helps you in the Sasaki sweepstakes. It gives you extra money. You get more international spending money if your guy finishes second or third in rookie of the year. The Yankees are going to get first and third or second and third in rookie of the year. So you get a first round pick if you win rookie of the year. Your organization does. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, Choppy.
No, I'm saying who on the Yankees is going to win rookie? Is Austin Wells going to win it?
Well, they have Hill. They have the pitcher.
Heel,
they got two out of the three, and the Orioles got. But if I look at Wyatt Langford, I have to go backwards here. But Wyatt Langford, 253 batting average, 16 home runs, 126 hits, 74 runs, 74 RBIs, 19 stolen bases, a 740 OPS. Austin Wells, a 718 OPS, 55 RBIs, one stolen base, 42 runs, 229 batting average, 13 home runs, 81 hits. He literally lost every category. There's not a category that Austin Wells wins. How did Wyatt Langford not become a finalist and become like the third place guy MLB, where the Rangers get a benefit?
Wyatt MLB Network must have voted on it.
Wyatt had a higher war, too. Wyatt's war was 3-9 to 2-5.
I don't know about that, but I do have odds for Sasaki and where he's going to end up. Mm. Where do you think?
I think it's easy. LA saved $2.5 million right now for this situation. If you get past December 15th, things change. But if he signs before December 15th, it is 100% the LA Dodgers.
Dodgers are the favorite at 3-1. Then the Padres. Good job. Are you reading off my computer?
No, I just... we talked about kind of
the West Coast.
Oh, you
probably got the same email I did.
Yeah, the West Coast connection. So Padres makes sense.
Padres, then Mets, Mariners, Giants, Yankees, Cubs, Phillies, Rays, Braves, Rangers, tied at 14-1 with about three other teams.
Those should change if it gets to December 16th, because then the international spending money for 2025 comes into play. The Dodgers withheld $2.5 million from Latin America. Why would they do that? It's very simple. They did it because they believe that $2.5 million will win and easily win. Nobody even can compete with $2.5 million right now. On December 15th, all that money goes away and you start your 2025 money, which then the Dodgers have less than the Rangers, because the Rangers didn't have a good year, so they would have more international spending money. I'm not saying he's coming to the Rangers, but the Dodgers did this for a reason. If they know that he was going to wait till December 16th or 17th, they would have spent that $2.5 million on a Venezuelan guy, on a couple Dominican guys. They would have spent that money. They saved it for a reason.
All right, we saved a couple of Ask Reddits for you guys. Ooh. Usually happens every Tuesday during the expressway as Bobby Belt scours the internet.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a good one for Mike Bassick to weigh in on first. Mike seems to have a lot of takes on this type of thought process. Mike, what's a clear sign someone knows they're losing an argument?
What is it?
They threaten to just tear down the stadium.
I think one of them would be, it's not a perfect sign, but they raise their voice. They start yelling.
Once it's escalating. Yep.
That's the one that most people go to. I don't think that that's universal, and I'm trying not to raise my voice right now because I see him laughing because he knows he's thinking of me. No, because that's the problem is that a lot of times it's massively irritating how wrong somebody
is
to
me. That's
true.
That's why I don't think it's an absolute.
That being said, even though they're wrong doesn't mean they're not winning the argument, because you're lost up in your emotions.
Lost in the sauce, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yeah, winning the argument and being right are not the two.
One would be you change the argument. You're like, now we're not arguing.
Oh yeah, straw man.
You take a
goalpost.
You change it to like, wait, we are not even arguing this.
I know when Bobby knows he's losing the argument, he does this. Is this with his
the
fingers?
Wind horse?
No, he does this with his fingers.
No, that's when I get
no.
No, that's when I get super frustrated with Choppy just going, oh, just because. That's the way it is. Like, Bam is the same team. It doesn't matter that nobody else agrees with that. Bam is the same team. That's when I start getting annoyed.
Oh, man.
All right, next one here, fellas. No, that's not me losing the argument, Mike. I see you motioning over here. Higgy, what's your kryptonite?
It's like a green stone.
Yeah. He knows what it is.
No, I understand.
Mine is Choppy saying Bama is still the same effing team they've been for a decade.
That argument still seems to be lingering.
It has not been settled.
They just won by 30.
Okay. That's a good
Brian
question.
Kelly.
I'm going to have to think about
Cool Ranch Doritos.
You don't like Cool Ranch Doritos?
I love Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh, it's like that's your weakness. You can't turn it down.
Every time.
See, I think it's something that like weakens you, not something that like, ooh, is a temptation that I can't. Like something that just wears you down.
Oh. If it's something for kids, like I'll pretty much just give in. Like whenever you get the charity thing in the mail and they're like, this was written by this kid on this sheet of paper. And I'm like, well, they clearly need our money. They have made this kid write this note.
See, I thought you would have like traced the handwriting, made sure it was legit, saw that it wasn't forged, call
Bobby,
the place.
Are you Democrats?
Huh? Is what?
What did you say?
Repeat yourself?
What the hell?
Is your kryptonite Democrats?
My kryptonite is my kryptonite.
I'm 2-1 against them, and 2-0 if you ask me. Okay, 2-0-1,
3-0.
How does that math add up? 2-0, 2-1.
No, I honestly
they're eating the dog.
My kryptonite is the I can't stand. Like I lose my cool whenever we're getting back to an argument, and the way somebody's presenting a bad argument that's clearly a fallacy or their points are just not accurate, and they get like a hallelujah chorus behind them, like a group of people like, yeah, he's schooly. That I lose my S really fast
when
on
somebody
that
says they could care less. I'm like, okay.
I had to teach my kid.
That's my pet peeve. Couldn't.
Sean saying Sherbert
could care less.
Sean saying Sherbert. That's another one for me that I can't stand the Sherbert argument.
You wanted to say Chabert?
No, it's Sherbet.
Sherbet.
There's no second R.
Shut up, Bobby.
There's why do we just ignore that?
No one in
the state or the city or the Metroplex says sherbet.
It's not. No, it's like saying no one goes.
No one in the world.
No one goes to the ice cream stand and goes, give me the sherbet. No one. You sound like an idiot.
No one up north. No one up north says.
And I'm not losing the argument. You're an idiot.
No one up north says wash. They say warsh. It doesn't matter. There's not an R there. Warsh is the right way to say it.
You got
to
get a glass of water.
It is technically sherbet, but it's not. It's also not at the same time because nobody says it like that.
Yeah.
By the way, my answer to this is a good underdog. Like
it is 2024. We're changing the meaning of all sorts of words. So good I guess we can just pronounce it however we want.
Oh my god!
Last one here. Anybody has a band you used to like but you now think is cringy?
Mike, what's on your
playlist? I used to like R. Kelly and Michael Jackson songs.
Yeah.
Like
you know, it's not really cringy tough. For me. It's more sad. Any like 80s hair metal band that's still out there performing, Motley Crue, like Vince Neil, just Axl Rose out there trying to sing.
Mine's
you can't
too.
Do it anymore.
Under the Joshua Tree was such a good, like Joshua Tree was such a good album.
And they peaked. Europa.
Soft. They're like the James Taylor of hard rock.
Yeah, you and your Oasis is much harder.
I don't like Oasis.
Yeah, you did. You told me when we first started doing the show that you wore your big hemp necklace.
That's not Oasis. It was Dave guys. Matthews.
No, and Oasis, too.
I hate Oasis.
That first Oasis.
I hate you do with your new 15th candle.
You were a hippie
hemp.
Back in the day.
They're
with your
not hippie. They're alternative.
He hates Oasis more than Oasis hates Oasis. He never liked Oasis.
Dave Matthews, yes.
You want to hear three guys get along?
No, not Oasis. Fish.
Absolutely, yes.
Fish.
Yes.
Everything I said, yelling, fish.
Fish.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, fish.
Fish the band.
Fish, you know, and Oasis 20
minute
is water.
Songs.
Right? Oasis is much better than Fish.
Well, different kind of music, but yes, they have more hits. For
Fish
sure.
is awful.
Wait until you get in on this crunchy groove, man.
Exactly. Bill Walton over here. It's his birthday the other day. You need to wash that.
Yesterday was Mike's birthday.
Today's my wife's birthday.
Mike Bassick.
Yeah.
KMC Masterpiece is next.
Happy birthday, Mike. Mike doesn't wish us a happy birthday. He doesn't care. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.